Mini episode 1848 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to mini episode 1848 of the FDH Lounge. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with our preview of the biggest sports entertainment show of the summer, fittingly called SummerSlam. Here's our top five notes of interest about the stadium shows from the Meadowlands, Saturday, August 2nd and Sunday, August 3rd at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Peacock in the United States and Netflix in many places globally. Number 5. As the second biggest WWE show of the year along with the Royal Rumble, SummerSlam has finally joined WrestleMania as a two-night event. Mania has been on this track since 2020, and the Rumble may be joining these shows in this format as early as next year. This is all the more impressive since the largest shows of the WWE year are also now stadium shows, thus necessitating turning out a huge crowd over the course of two nights, plus SmackDown and or Raw in the same market. Number 4. This comes at a time when WWE's creative chief Paul Levesque has fully implemented the format for big shows that he utilized years ago in NXT. Those shows often had five matches and almost never more than six, no matter how much was happening in the promotion at the time. With the return of Saturday night's main event, which is inherently limited in the number of matches with a two-hour format and is treated at the same level as so-called premium live events, the bigger matches from Raw and SmackDown are spread around decently between these occasions. It's this format that translates to the two nights of SummerSlam, where it is likely that neither night will run much longer, if at all, than standard PLE full events. Number 3. We often judge events by the number of plausible semi-main events that it has, and by this measure, SummerSlam falls short. The main events of each night are plausible for this stage, if not much more. Cody Rhodes and John Cena will rematch their WrestleMania 41 main event for the undisputed WWE Championship. That clash had an all-time horrible finish, and the revived feud between these two has been uneven at best due to Cena's fluctuating availability and the inconsistent nature of how his huge heel turn has landed. CM Punk challenges Gunther for the WWE World Championship, a program that has had a short build, necessitated when the Fed squeezed Gunther into a Saturday night's main event title defense against Goldberg mere weeks ago that served as the latter's retirement match and was only booked on that stage in the first place to undermine the huge AEW All In Texas pay-per-view. Nevertheless, the stature of the two individuals and the story of Punk wanting to regain all that he had over a decade ago makes this match big enough. The real intrigue is whether Seth Rollins' recent knee injury is an elaborate work, something to camouflage him doing a shock Money in the Bank cash-in on Punk in the wake of a huge career-capping victory. That said, it would be a weird way to use Gunther not long after regaining the world title and then retiring Goldberg. From there, it seems like there's only one legit semi-main event per night. In the first, nearly 27 years after WCW desecrated the ring by importing Eric Bischoff and Jay Leno into a featured match at Road Wild, WWE raises the bar by booking, for some reason, Drew McIntyre and Logan Paul against Randy Orton and Jelly Roll. That said, the celebrity nature of the match puts it deservedly toward the top of the card since the core audience for this promotion eats this stuff up. The other worthy semi-main event match is a tag team match that would actually accomplish more in a singles format, and weirdly, it's also being held on Saturday night. Roman Reigns seems to be on a collision course with Bron Breakker, who is well on his way to being pushed as one of the top stars of the 2020s, but the apparent desire to keep either man from taking a pinfall has rendered this as a tag team match with Jey Uso and Bronson Reed as the partners, respectively. This should be a very heated grudge match. Number 2. Other matches on the card might be big enough to serve as the semi-main event for a show of lesser importance than SummerSlam, but they're not big enough here. There's a few matches that could have qualified had they been given the luxury of a longer build. Tiffany Stratton defends the WWE Women's Championship against Jade Cargill in a match that has jumbled face-heel dynamics and will require the young champion to carry her green, older contender. Nevertheless, with the personalities involved here, a full-blown program between the two could have been intriguing. Naomi defends the WWE World Women's Championship against Rhea Ripley and Io Sky in yet another big three-way match between the latter two. It should be one of the more memorable in-ring tilts of the weekend. The Judgment Day team of Raquel Rodriguez and Roxanne Perez defends the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship against Charlotte Reed and Alexa Bliss in a match that should seem way bigger than it is. Becky Lynch has had a good feud with her fellow countryman Lyra Valkyria and defends the Women's Intercontinental Championship against her for the last time. It's a better developed program than either of the women's world title ones, but for a secondary championship. Solo Sikoa defends the U.S. title in a steel cage against Jacob Fatu with a stipulation that seems ham-handed this early in a feud that actually just erupted, albeit after a long, slow burn, within the last month. And Dominic Mysterio defends the Intercontinental title against AJ Styles in what is just a cynical attempt to hand the youngster a big scalp with a win on this show. It's just a sad reminder of the AJ versus Prime Rey Mysterio match that we never got. Sami Zayn meets Karrion Kross in a match of two guys who are, and probably will continue to be, underutilized. And in a lazily booked match that should still be a decent car crash exhibition, the Wyatt Six defend the WWE Tag Team Championship in a six-pack TLC match against, you guessed it, five other teams, Andrade and Rey Fénix, DIY, Fraxium, the Street Profits, and the Motor City Machine Guns. Number 1. Many matches may be set up to over-deliver the lackluster build, so the show may still be worth checking out if you already have the streaming service that will televise it. On paper, this show looks like two nights of a random Backlash or Bad Blood show, but the performers may be able to outperform the lack of promotional hype coming in. The three-way World Women's title match features excellent performers and will have great high spots. We could probably say much the same about the Women's Tag Team title match, and the Samoan cage match will be hard-hitting and brutal. For as much as the Fed went out of its way to screw with AEW's All In Texas pay-per-view on July 12th, they really didn't succeed, and the All Elite crew put up a show of the year candidate that far outshined WrestleMania 41. You've got to think that Paul Levesque and the crew are heading into this show with something to prove, with the consensus being that the product has cooled, at least on a critical level, since last winter. We have a strong feeling that SummerSlam will surpass the half-assed build to deliver two nights that will be decent at minimum. Here's hoping anyway. Thank you for joining us for this mini episode of the FDH Lounge.